Let's pray together. Our Lord, we're glad that you didn't just set this planet in motion and leave us alone. But that after you created us, that you came and you walked with us and talked with us, and you didn't leave us. You didn't leave us alone. You kept coming after us until finally you came in the person of your Son. And then you sent your Spirit so that we could know you forever. And you left your word behind, your written word, so that we could know you, the living word, through all of life and on into eternity. So Lord, would you speak to us now? May we follow you together and in our callings in life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, every once in a while, someone will ask us, do you like to cruise? Have you ever been on a cruise? And Maureen and I only went on one cruise. And you might discover why we haven't been on any more other than, you know. So some years ago, we were on a Journeys of Paul trip with a bunch of pastors and pastors' wives. And, you know, we were all excited, and we had seen Greece, where there's a lot, Athens and other places where the Apostle Paul was. And then we were heading from Greece over to Turkey, which means a short cruise across the Aegean Sea, and it was an overnight cruise. And so we got onto this boat. It's the biggest boat I'd ever been near, and they tell me it wasn't a big boat. I mean, it was like monstrous. I don't remember how many stories it was, but the thing was huge. And we get inside of that, and we're going to be on it for one night. Okay, honey, we're finally on a cruise, okay? So one night, and they had everything on that boat, but we get in, we get into our stateroom, which wasn't huge, but it was a stateroom, you know, with one of those round windows and everything. And then there's a big Greek dinner the first night. Well, it's our only night, but it's our big Greek dinner. So we went out there, and we go up there, and we got on, you know, our, I guess, nicer clothes or whatever we had. And we went up, and we're sitting around these round tables with some of our friends, these other pastors and wives from other churches in that area. And they started to serve the food. And they bring it out, Greek food, and more. And more. And it's like, I mean, we just had left a port in Greece, and it's like, oh, this is fabulous. And they're filling us up and filling us up and filling us up. And then, they bring out the dessert. And you know, it's baklava. I mean, made in Greece. It's like the real deal and all kinds of other things. And this is like, wow, this is really cool. And we're eating away and eating away. And then all of a sudden, the boat starts to go like this a little bit. But okay, you know, this is, you know, that's not a big deal. But then it did this again. And then again. And then pretty soon the waiters are holding on to their trays. And then pretty soon it's going like this. And people are starting to run from the room. And they're getting rid of their dinner, and then more are running from their room, and then pretty soon we're running to our room, and I don't think anybody survived with what they started with that night. And then we just kind of held on for dear life, hoping we would get through that storm. And that was the only cruise that we've been on. But don't you feel sometimes like this kingdom cruise that we're on is like that? The Lord says, if you'll follow me, I'll be with you. I'll walk with you all the way through life. And the boat starts to go. It starts to slide, and we're holding on to things. Sometimes it's at home. Sometimes it's on the school bus or at school, or sometimes it's in the neighborhood, sometimes it's at church. Sometimes it's in our community. Sometimes it's in our souls. Sometimes it's in our bodies. Sometimes it's in the bodies of those that we love. Sometimes, like yesterday, there's some that we love for a lifetime, and they're in a box that's right here. And things are going topsy-turvy, and we wonder, are we even going to survive, or are we going to get to port? Never mind the problems around the world. You know, it used to be that you had to turn on the news at 6 o'clock. Now it's 24/7 on your phones, which is a whole other ball of wax, you know, that can upset your stomach. But I mean, you just wonder, is the world going to survive? Is God's kingdom, is it really moving ahead? Is God really in charge? Or is this ship going to go under and I'm going to lose my dinner along the way? Well, the Christians whom Mark wrote to, many of them had probably fled from Jerusalem. Many of them may have come to Jesus as the early church was formed. But then persecution broke out and they spread all over the empire, some of them losing their lives, some of them losing their jobs or family members, some of them being imprisoned. They would remember that John the Baptist had lost his life, his head been served on a platter. Thank you very much. Talk about an appetizing meal. But it was bad. And that's when John said, I'm writing you about the king. Because the king did come. And his kingdom has come. His will is being done on earth as it is in heaven. Not all the way yet, already, but not yet. His kingdom is moving ahead. But as they're fleeing for their lives, he says, let me tell you about a storm on a ship. And he talks about Jesus. Because Jesus has been talking, he's been with the disciples. You remember he's been on the hillside there, and they had such a big crowd that they got into a boat, one of the fishing boats of some of the disciples. And he said, okay, let's make a moat between us and the crowd so they don't crowd us out. And he taught to them for a long day. And then Jesus said, let's go to the other side. The Sea of Galilee, really just a big lake. He said, just let's get to the other side of the lake. It's been a long day, guys. And I'm going to take a nap. And so Jesus, you know, he wasn't a fisherman, he was a carpenter. He got a cushion and he went down into the hole of the boat and he lay down. And the disciples said, okay, we're ready to go. The fishermen said, okay, boys, you know, tax collectors, you guys, just sit down, just rest, do what Jesus is doing, and we'll get us to the other side. But as the day is winding down, there's some clouds that are appearing on the horizon. And they start getting closer and closer. We know what hurricanes are like. Maybe a hurricane is coming through and the wind is starting to blow a little bit and a little bit more and a little bit more. And pretty soon the waves are going up and down and up and down, and the boat is swamped and the water is filling the boat and it's going down into the hole, and they can't believe Jesus is sleeping down there, and the disciples are bailing and they're trying to adjust the sails, and the fishermen are pulling the non-fishermen in and saying, hey, won't you help us? We don't know if we're going to make it to the other side. We don't know if we're even going to survive. And they finally go down and they say, Jesus, don't you even care if we drown? He says, I'm taking a nap down here, guys. Things are going to be fine. He said, Jesus, look at this water. Look at the water coming in all around us. We don't know if we're going to survive. Master, don't you even care if we drown? And Jesus tries to go back to sleep. He's tired. He knows that his father's in charge. But finally, they drag him up onto the deck. He says, okay, guys, let's take care of this. Quiet. Waves, be still. Wind, stop blowing. And the wind quiets down to nothing. He says, waves, stop your waving. And the waves stop. As flat as glass. And they look at him and they are shaking in their sandals. They have never seen anything like this. And Jesus says, what's the problem? How come you're so afraid? Don't you have faith now? Don't you believe now after all that I've said, after all that I've done to this point? Still you don't have faith? Will you believe me now? And they ask, who is this? Who is this that just came up from the hole in the boat? Who is this that says to the wind and the waves, the wind to stop blowing, the waves to stop moving, and they do what he says? Who is this? And Mark says, this is the Creator King. This is the one that made the winds and the waves. This is the one that walked with Adam and Eve in the garden and said, I'm going to come after you. Even though you rebelled against me, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be with my people through all of human history. And we're going to get this ship to the end when everything is fine. You see, Jesus is with us in the storms of life. He's with us. It seems at times like he's asleep, like he doesn't even know what's going on. But as we get worked up, you know, and we're bailing and we're thinking that we can do something about it and we do everything that we can, but you know what? It just seems like he's asleep. Because the truth of the matter is that he's not worried. He's totally in control. He never leaves us. The one whom Matthew called Emmanuel, God with us, is with us no matter what the storms of life are, physical, spiritual, emotional, social, family, community, world. Jesus is with us as the people of God, and he never, ever leaves us. David Garland said that reading Mark's gospel, helps us to learn to trust in a Savior who doesn't deliver us necessarily from the storms, but sometimes, we don't like this, but sometimes he delivers us through the storms. Because he's with us. He's with us in the boat. It feels like he's asleep, but he's there. It's just that we're so worked up that we forget that he is in charge. In fact, sometimes he sent us into the storms. Maureen and I have enjoyed the series, The Chosen. How many of you have seen that? I think I've asked you. You got to find it. Find it on your phone. Find it online. Find The Chosen. It's a series on the life of Jesus done by the Dallas, what's his last name? Jenkins, son of the man that wrote Left Behind. It's all about the life of Jesus. It's wonderful. Imagining some of the things that might have happened in between. So here's one of the things that in the last episode that we watched. Jesus sends his disciples out now in two by two. You read that in the gospel. Sends them out. And he says, okay, now I want you to cast out demons. And they're like, us? Regular people. And they're trying to figure out how things are going to go. And there's two Johns among the disciples. And one of them, the series calls Little John. And he has a cane. And soon after Jesus appoints them, he meets Jesus along a walkway. And he says, Jesus, you want me to go? He says, yeah, I want you to go. He says, Jesus, how can I go with this? He said, I'm so slow. He said, how am I going to keep up? Can you heal me? And Jesus says, yeah, I can heal you. Well, can you heal me? Will you heal me? And Jesus looks at him and he says, that's not in the Father's plan. And he looks at him just so sad that Jesus wouldn't heal him. Jesus said, you know, it's a lot easier for me to deal with Peter and the one who's dribbling at the mouth. A lot easier to deal with you than it is with him. And he said, my Father will be glorified more through your cane, through your disability, than he is without it. And that's the way that God is with us. There's all kinds of handicaps that we have, sometimes physical handicaps, emotional, social, background things that we just wish that God would take away from us. But sometimes God has given them to us for a purpose, and he wants to redeem it. He wants to use it for his purposes. Sometimes he sends us into it so that he can receive greater glory to show that he is with us in the storm than if we were there, if we were not in the storm itself. Because the wonderful thing is that Jesus stops the storms. It's in his time and in his way. Sometimes, we wonder if it'll ever stop. It's not in our time. When do I want it to stop? I want it to stop now. How do I want to do it? Just be done with it, Jesus. You know, just stop the storm. Make the waves stop and the winds. But it's in his time and it's in his way. Usually in some way that we've never realized never even thought of. But we'll shake in our sandals with the disciples when we realize how in control he is. He is the king. He's the sovereign one. He is in charge of this world. All the wind and the waves and everything else he's in charge of. But he's also providential, which means that he, the king, uses his decisions, his control, for the good of his kingdom and of us, his followers. He works all things together, Paul wrote, for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. His purposes that began at the beginning of time. Just before this, before they said, okay, let's get out of here, Jesus had talked earlier on in chapter 4, you remember he talked about the parable of the soils, probably pointing up on the hill to a farmer and saying, okay, look at where he's scattering his seed. Some of them take, some of them don't. Some of them grow 50, 100 times. How do we know that Jesus, how do we know that he can grow his seed like that? How do we know that his kingdom will advance like that? He made the seeds. He made the land. He sends the rain. He sends the water. He made the farmer. He can take care of the seeds of his kingdom growing. He talks about how the farmer scatters his seed. Another parable that he told, pointing up to that farmer. And he said, you know, the farmer doesn't worry about it at night. He goes to sleep. Well, how do we know that he will make those seeds grow? Well, the one who made the seeds, and the one who calms the wind, he can make seeds grow, and he does in his kingdom as well as in the earth. And he says that the seed will grow of his kingdom. It'll grow like a great big bush from a little tiny mustard seed that gives shade and joy to the birds that are flying all around and looking for some shelter. And how do we know that he can do that? Well, because he's the one that created the seed. He's the one that makes the bush to grow. He's the one that gives us the seed of his word and works in our hearts and in the hearts of others all around us and causes it to grow and causes us to his kingdom to flourish and does things that we cannot even imagine. And he shows that by calming the seas. But look at what's to come. Look at the next chapter, something that we'll look at in a couple of weeks. So he goes, they go across the sea. They go to the area where the Gentiles are, where the Gergesene demonized man is. There's a man that's just berserk, has no control of himself. He's possessed by an evil spirit. He comes down and nobody knows what to do. They try and tie him up. They can't do anything with him. And Jesus throws his possessor out. And there's the man in his right mind. Then there's a girl that's dead. He raises her from the dead like he will raise himself from the dead. There's a woman that's sick. This is the one that's building his kingdom. This is the one that created us. He's the one who gives life and takes it from us. He's the one that raises the dead. He's the one that calms the sea. He is the one who is building his kingdom. He is the one who comes to those inner demons, those things that drive us crazy on the inside that we just can't get rid of. And my friends, the creator of this world, the creator of the universe, is still able to change us on the inside no matter what age we are, no matter what our circumstance, that nobody can change. Jesus still does miracles today, and he can change us and change those whom we love. And he does it in his church. He does amazing things in his church. Yesterday, as Donald Dragoo, a charter member, was here, we heard all kinds of stories. I remember the story of when Metro came to Jesus. Old Presbyterian church across the way. I asked John Stumble, I said, were you the pastor when... Yeah, he said he was the pastor when Metro came to Jesus. God still draws people to himself. He's still in that kingdom building business. Again, this isn't our kingdom. He's building his kingdom. He's drawing people in so that the nations might worship him. He's doing what's happened in Cambodia is amazing. Amazing how that church, after many, many years of hard planting, all of a sudden it is just coming alive and it is flourishing because God is building his kingdom. And he will make sure that all of the craziness of the world that we live in right now, and it's always been crazy, he will use that for his good ends, for the glory of his name. It seems impossible, but you know what? He's the creator. He will calm the storms. He will calm the seas. He will make sure that his kingdom moves ahead, even if it moves ahead in ways that we could never, ever imagine. We know that this kingdom story is going to end well because the Creator is at rest during the crazy storms. There's a psalm in Psalm 107. It says that they went out to the sea in ships. And these were not people that in this psalm, which describes all kinds of stations, types of people. They were not people that loved the Lord when they went out in those ships. But when the storm came, like Jonah and the men in that ship, they cried out to the Lord. And the Lord was gracious to them and merciful to them. He heard their prayer. He calmed the storm. He brought the ships into the desired haven. And the psalmist says, "Let them give thanks to the Lord and for his unfailing love and his wonderful love for men." Maybe you've heard the story of the little girl that was sleeping down in the sleeping quarters of the ship, great big ship. She was on the ship that her daddy was the skipper of, the captain, and she's down there with her mom trying to sleep, and all of a sudden the ship goes topsy-turvy, and she falls out of her bed onto the floor, and her mom says, "Hey, are you okay? Are you okay?" And she stumbles and she gets back into the bed and she pulls up the covers. She said, "Mama, I'm okay. I'm okay. Because Daddy's upstairs." My friends, we're okay. Because Jesus is upstairs. And Jesus is in charge of his kingdom ship. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we forgive us. Lord, we get so worried sometimes. We try and grab the steering wheel of your ship. Lord, I pray for those among us this morning, or some that are very troubled. And Lord, we all go through those times. May they know the peace of the skipper. Lord, may we encourage one another as we ride the ship of your kingdom together, Lord, and more as we look forward to that day when you return and then you bring us all into port together. Lord, thanks for bringing others onto the ship, Lord, as we share the good news of Jesus with others and say they can be part of your ship as well. Lord, we pray that you would draw more in, Lord, that your kingdom would grow, that we may rejoice in you, in your goodness, your providence, your mercy, your good grace forever. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.